From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Alaska Fashion Week kicks off tonight in Juneau. It's the first of 4 days of activities throughout the city. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd tells us, event organizers hope it's just the first in an annual tradition.
The event, which runs Thursday through Sunday, is made up of a string of activities. It starts with a film screening, then a city tour, a whiskey tasting, and, of course, a runway show and after party. But it's not all about dressing up and checking out the latest trends. Cordova Pleasance owns Resolute Boutique in Juneau and is heading up Alaska Fashion Week. She says her mission is to educate people about fast fashion and sustainability.
Fast fashion is actually an incredibly polluting industry, and so it's really important to shop with consideration in mind. You know, where are your clothes made? What are they made of? We want to focus on natural materials and staying away from the polyesters and the synthetic materials because they don't biodegrade as well as something like cotton or hemp or even linen.
The past year also put a strain on the fashion industry, in part because so many people waited out the pandemic at home in their sweatpants.
Everybody was sitting at home and not buying fashion, which put a lot of retailers throughout the U.S. out of business. A lot of my colleagues and my friends closed their boutiques all over the country. I feel really lucky to have Juneau's support to have been able to keep mine.
Shattuck Way behind Juneau City Hall will be shut down for the runway show on Saturday, which features about 20 designers. Half of them are national brands and the other half are Alaskan and Indigenous designers.
These collections have been created specifically for Alaska Fashion Week, so we're just over the moon to see them come down the runway.
And after more than a year of fashion hibernation, Cordova says it's a great opportunity to just dress up.
Dress to the nines, even if you're just going to the grocery store. It doesn't matter. This is about celebrating fashion in Alaska and maybe pulling out maybe your grandmother's pieces or some, you know, anything that you have that's passed down, pulling out those special pieces. And just this is your excuse to wear them.
More information about the event schedule and featured designers can be found at AlaskaFashionWeek.com. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
In other news, new details are emerging about a COVID-19 outbreak associated with a regional high school sports tournament in Ketchikan. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, public health officials say at least 23 cases have been linked to April's regional wrestling tournament.
The Bill Weiss Tournament is an annual wrestling event that invites athletes and their families from around the region. Now, public health officials say people in 5 of the 7 communities that participated this year, Craig, Kluwak, Sitka, Wrangell, and Ketchikan, have tested positive for COVID-19 after attending the tournament. It was held alongside another regional tournament on April 23rd and 24th at Ketchikan High School. Craig parent Lonnie Lingley was at the tournament with her son. She acknowledges that sports in a pandemic carry a level of risk, but she says she thought the Ketchikan wrestling tournament would be safe.
Because of the paperwork sent home and the lengths went into making sure all our kids were tested and knowing that every community coming to the tournament would be tested and that we would be wearing masks and temperatures would be checked.
She spoke to KRBD from Alicia Roberts Medical Center in the Prince of Wales Island community of Kluwak, where she was being tested for COVID-19. Ketchikan emergency officials said Tuesday that 5 people at the tournament at Ketchikan High School were infected and contagious during the indoor event. The regional governing body for school sports issued a formal warning to Ketchikan High School last week, saying school officials did not test their athletes prior to the competition and did not enforce a mask requirement. Ketchikan's school district says it's investigating. Lingley was unaware at the time that Ketchikan wrestlers had not been tested, but she says she noticed some other irregularities.
I was quite shocked that people were walking around, they weren't wearing their masks, they weren't social distanced. The only people I noticed were the people from out of town.
She says that while there was a table set up to check temperatures and screen for symptoms, no one was at that table to perform checks and screenings when she arrived. Now, fallout from the event is starting to emerge after Ketchikan's school board was briefed on the situation. State Public Health Nurse Arizona Jacobs told the board Wednesday that 13 Ketchikan High School employees and students have now tested positive.
All but one was infectious and present in school for 1 to 6 days before beginning quarantine.
3 of the 13 cases were present at school and infectious for at least a full week, Ketchikan emergency officials say, and roughly 8% of the student body is currently in quarantine. It's not clear how many people were potentially exposed as a result of the tournament. Jacobs told the board that contact tracing for cases that have arisen outside of school is still underway.
Just because of the case count and the number of contacts that these cases have had, which is substantially more than has been in the past, it's going to take some time before we can get around to all of them.
She said the outbreak had overwhelmed local contact tracers, requiring help from the state. Jacobs said some close contacts may not be notified if they were exposed more than 10 days ago because their quarantine period would have already ended. Some senior state health department officials were on hand for Wednesday's virtual school board meeting, including State Public Health's Coleman Kutchins. He told the board that one option for containing the outbreak was mass COVID-19 testing for students and staff.
Well, use of universal masking helps keep schools open. And then when you're having cases spread, robust universal screening testing. Those are the people that are asymptomatic. And then pulling out your positives also really helps, you know, keep people in school and keep communities open.
As of Wednesday afternoon, it's not clear whether Ketchikan's school district will go forward with mass testing. Craig Parent Lingley says she's looking for reassurances that the district will do better in the future.
I'm all about the kids being in sports. I want the sports to continue. I just don't want it to be negligent.
Ketchikan High School closed the Wednesday after the tournament but reopened the following Monday. The school closed again the next day and will remain shut through at least Friday with students studying remotely. All after-school activities are canceled through at least Monday. So far, impacts to other Ketchikan area schools have been limited. Ketchikan's middle school, alternative high school, and elementary schools look set to stay fully open for now. Ketchikan's school board left that decision up to the acting superintendent, who told KRBD Wednesday afternoon that she's working with school administrators to chart a path forward. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
The Biden administration issued a conservation report today called, quote, America the Beautiful. The centerpiece is a goal of conserving 30% of the nation's lands and waters by 2030, in part to combat climate change. Republicans in Congress immediately criticized it as an attempt to lock up natural resources, but conservation groups are eyeing parts of Alaska they'd like to see protected.
It's hard to think of two better candidates than Batangas in southeast Alaska and Bristol Bay in southwest Alaska.
Tim Bristol is executive director of Salmon State. He says conservation measures in the Tongass and Bristol Bay would protect fish and wildlife and also save thousands of jobs that depend on renewable resources.
It just seems like they're no-brainers. They're places where you could make the 30 by 30 concept real and also have a real positive impact on many people's lives.
Bristol's group is among those campaigning to have the roadless rule reinstated for the Tongass. They also want the EPA to reapply the Clean Water Act protection to the Bristol Bay watershed to preclude a new permit application for the proposed Pebble Mine. The Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association and other groups that advocate for small boat fishermen are also joining the call to protect Bristol Bay and the Tongass.
Initially, we and many other Alaskans and fishermen, you know, were concerned that the 30 by 30 effort could mean no-take marine areas and marine reserves that would exclude small boat fishermen.
Kelly Harrell is chief fisheries officer at Sitka Salmon Shares, a processor that buys from small boat fishermen. She says Biden's goal caused some apprehension at first, but she says the report released today shows the administration sees fishermen as stewards of the resource. Harrell wants to see the administration succeed in reducing carbon emissions. She says climate change is a threat to healthy fisheries.
Ocean acidification, we know, is having impacts on things like, our food web in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. It's a huge concern, and we need action.
Alaska's congressional delegation opposed the roadless rule and the EPA's so-called preemptive veto when they were imposed during prior Democratic administrations. And Alaska Native veterans of the Vietnam War era would be able to receive state land under a proposal Governor Mike Dunleavy announced on Wednesday. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.